For the table of the Lord, so if you don't mind standing with me for a moment while we read God's word, I think it's important that we do that. And in Matthew chapter 16, and here Jesus is speaking to his followers, and he said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Think about that for a minute. How much he loves us. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. He is bestowing on his followers in that passage and context his kingdom authority to do what we need to do to help build the kingdom of God. So, Father, thank you. And it is my sincere prayer that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart are pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God has given his people the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Now, I was thinking about this message this morning. I had prepared it over a week ago, and then I was listening to Pastor Michael share that very exciting and great word. And I thought, you know, you can't plan stuff like this. If we sat and collaborated for a week, we couldn't have come up with some of these ideas. But God has given his people the keys to the kingdom of heaven. There's a power source that lives within each and every spirit-filled believer. It is the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And when he is literally ruling and reigning and having direction, then we make choices that are pleasing to the Lord. When we start allowing our own feelings to rule and reign, we get in trouble like many Israelis did and other believers have over the years. Because of his power in us, we have the ability to command through prayer and quoting of God's word. No matter what the circumstances we face, we can have authority in those conditions and circumstances. We need to come to an understanding of the purpose of what we possess in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can possess our healing to the truth because of the truth of what our Father says we can possess. For an example, if you purchase a home or an automobile, you are the owner of that home or that automobile. You're given the title deed to the home or the title to the automobile. However, you're now responsible for the overall care of that real estate or that vehicle. The real estate's now part of your assets, and you're given keys of access to the home or to the car. You now have the authority and the right to do what you want to do with those two assets because you're now the keeper of those assets. The keys to the home or the car represent a level of authority. No one without keys have access, and if they forcibly break into your home or car, they are one, breaking the law, and two, trespassers, thieves, burglars, and the intruders are unauthorized and have not been given access, permission, or legal authority to enter. Your home deed or car title are proof of your access and your ownership. And we need to think about God's command center, and that's all related to the table of the Lord. It's imperative to know our legal rights and authority in the kingdom of God. The Father has released the Holy Spirit's power and authority, and he's given us the keys of access as his children and said, here, you have authority in my kingdom. We have the ability to possess our healing because Jesus Christ purchased it for us and hands it to us as a gift. And if someone breaks into your home, you don't ask them to leave, at least I won't. I command them to leave. And sometimes you have to force them to leave. And my text in Matthew 16, 19 describes the authority that we as believers possess. There is a command center in heaven that we tap into because of the Holy Spirit. And we as family members of God's kingdom can communicate what heaven has declared. We read in God's promises what he's decreed that and everything that he has in his kingdom belong to the believers who are a part of his kingdom. The Spirit-filled believer possesses the ability to bind, Jesus said, to loose, to permit, to prohibit, to arrest and release. Heaven will back us up when we flow in the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, we need to command our bodies to be well because of the price that Jesus paid by speaking his word over our condition. We do not only get to speak God's word by faith concerning healing, but we can rebuke the storms that come abruptly, interrupting our lives. Jesus is on the boat and he's asleep. You remember the story. And a sudden storm comes out of nowhere, and the disciples are fearful for their lives. Jesus immediately discerns the circumstance, and he speaks to the wind and the waves, and is at his command. They both obey him. So what are we speaking a word of calmness to or over? And rebuking what is contrary to our purpose and our destiny. One of you stood up with kingdom backbone and Holy Spirit authority and said to the storm wreaking havoc in your life, be calm, stop in the name of Jesus. And like Jesus, we need to speak to any life-threatening circumstances like the storm that developed in that story and command peace. Be still in Jesus' name. So I'm here to say to you prophetically, peace. Be still. Peace in your mind. Peace in your heart concerning a sudden illness or a long-term illness, that the fear of death is broken. And I decree we should not be fearful like his disciples, but we should rest in the words of Jesus that calm every storm, heals every broken heart and disease. Be healed in Jesus' name. And rest and recover in the name of Jesus. I think about the fear that people are experiencing because, you know, they're announcing about every day someone else has contracted the coronavirus, right? But they're not telling us about how many people every day are contracting the flu, which is just as deadly, if not more so, for sure, at least the toll it's taken on our population. And I came to find out, how many of you had flu shots this year? Well, guess what? They missed the mark. They did. They were off. Most years, they're spot on or close to being spot on. But this year, the strain of virus was not included in the vaccination that you received, although it will help you to perhaps not get as bad a case of the flu. It wasn't as spot on. So I said that not to scare you, just to encourage you to trust the Lord. I said to trust the Lord, right? Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Yeah, it's going to be. We should only have measured concern. Pray that we're driven by faith, not by fear. The Assemblies of God in Italy has chosen to encourage their members to rely on the strength and the power of God's word and pray in accordance with Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Because you're getting bombarded every day with scare tactics that get exaggerated by a lot of our media that just wants to work this thing for all they can do to get everybody stirred up and frightened and hunkering down and running in all kinds of directions. And then pray for the people who've been greatly impacted, because there have been, in some cultures more than others, God has the power to heal every sickness and every disease, and we need to pray his healing power manifests throughout the nations of the world and then gives those research scientists, and I believe according to what I'm reading, this is the Israeli scientists that are just days away from, they believe, a vaccine that will neutralize this virus. Thank God for God's people and the blessing on their thinking and in their minds, that God will give them favor so that we can continue moving forward to protect our populaces. Amen? Amen? And then pray for our missionary families. Yeah, because a lot of them have to move around in cultures that don't have all of the protections and the health benefits that we enjoy here. I said that we enjoy here. And you've got some candidates that want to take some of those away from you. So when you go out and vote on Tuesday, remember your freedoms. Remember the choices you get to make that are better than any other place on the planet. And we don't want to dumb those down. We want to keep them at least here, if not going up, better. Amen? So pray for God's protection on our missionaries, that they stay strong and healthy and effective doing what God's called them to do. We need to pray in faith, not cower in fear. I said, we pray and believe in faith and not cower in fear. Words have power. When I was in school, there was the familiar saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, yeah, sticks and stones can break bones, for sure. But I beg to differ with the rest of that. Words can harm a person mentally, psychologically. Words have the capacity to hurt, curse, open doors to sickness and disease. Words can create war, inflict emotional pain. In the natural realm, words can hurt or damage people's emotions. In the spiritual realm, words are containers of God's power that can change our lives, alter our destinies, direct our future, permit us to get our priorities in order with the perfect will of God. Words can carry God's supernatural power to heal our bodies, bring financial breakthrough blessings, change circumstances, having situations instantly turned around instead of having to wait forever. Words carry the potency that bring the prophetic promises of the Lord from the spiritual realm into the natural realm. Thank God he punches through and meets us where we are. God did not create us to be sick for the rest of our days. It's not the will of God to be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, then get debilitated for the rest of our lives. Let's break every fear and doubt and personal reservation concerning the fact that it's the will of God to heal his people. And often people are waiting for a pastor or a healing evangelist to show up and touch and pray for us in order to receive healing. However, it'll be your faith that's going to make you whole. Just as Jesus said over and over again in the New Testament, be healed, you are well, because your faith has made you whole. It's biblical to ask spiritual leadership of the church to anoint you with oil, to lay hands, to ask for prayer, to ask others to stand in faith and lay hands on you, believe in God for your breakthrough. But what will you do if you're faced with an intruder who quickly breaks into your home in the middle of the night? And while you're waiting for law enforcement to arrive, you're faced with having to do something now. Now. You may have to defend yourself by warding off the intruder or neutralizing the intruder until help arrives. God has placed in every one of us by the power of the Spirit of the Lord, based on the truth of his word, that we can command our bodies to function, to operate, and work as God created them to perform. My wife prayed that prayer over me and believed God for a miracle in my life a few years ago. Authority over all the power of the enemy. We have to place a demand on the promises of God's word. Or it's not going to automatically just kick in. We've got to say, Lord, this is what you promised. I claim it. So healing is the children's bread. We need to use God's word as seed to bear the fruit of it to benefit our lives. And what is this ability that God has given us by the Holy Spirit? We need to understand biblically, comprehend this, what authority and power has been given to the followers of Jesus. He emphatically put it like this in Luke's gospel: "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Wow, that's pretty powerful stuff. And this passage of Scripture reveals God's original intent pertaining to authority and power from His kingdom in the lives of His people. He said, "We have power over all the power of the enemy." All means... all means what?
All.
And any works of the enemy, whether they are sickness, disease, demonic spirits, infirmities. Jesus didn't give us power to sit on the sidelines and allow the enemy to shortcut our healings and our breakthroughs. We're not called to sit on the bench. We're called to play on the field, to have the power and authority that Jesus invested in us because of His sacrifice and giving us the Spirit that was in Him to make others believers and followers as we witness for Him and then see the power and the strength of Him working through us to bring health and restoration and deliverance for those that are bound. We possess the same Holy Spirit that worked in Jesus' life. The ultimate commander-in-chief, Jesus the Christ, has released delegated authority and power to us, His followers. He purposes for us to possess that power and authority so we can deal with our adversary. That includes through the power of commanding our adversary to leave. The power of the Holy Spirit in us can neutralize any authority and all authority of our adversary. And the word translated power in Luke 10:19, it's an interesting word. I just quoted it to you. It comes from the Greek word exousia, exousia. That word basically means the power of choice, freedom of action, right to act, power of authority. Do you know, as citizens of the United States, on Tuesday you get to go out and send a message to everybody that's running for office? I hope you'll exercise it. You're not called to sit on the bench when you're given that kind of freedom. And even more so in the kingdom of God, we're not called to sit on the bench. We have the power of authority. The Lord has given you exousia authority, which is like the police officer who's been given the power of authority by right of their oath. They're sworn officers and a badge to make an official arrest. Police officers have been given the right to act or legal authority to enforce the law. The badge is proof of exousia, which is a symbol that displays the officer's ability to exercise that authority and take legal action to do what they're called to do and positioned to do. The badge represents the sworn oath of public service. The badge is the legal authorization given to that officer, and it's coded and contains a specific identification number. And the number on that officer's badge links him or her back to central command or to the station or the authorized agency or government agency that the officer represents. The badge number is connected to who they are and who authorized them. The badge is what identifies and authorizes that officer to use his or her authority and a weapon which enforces the power of his or her badge. As born-again, Spirit-filled believers, Jesus has given each of you, all of us, exousia power to trample on anything contrary to God's word and anything that stands against us spiritually. God has made us spiritual enforcers to bind and loose trample upon anything that is not the will of God. So we're like officers given a badge of access and legal delegated authority to make commands that bring results. Spiritual authority is our heavenly badge. It's our seal. It's our signet. It's the symbol that represents the government of God through the power, exousia, of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the only authority, and everything bows and submits and confesses to him. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those in earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He's all authority. And we are his ambassadors, commissioned by him to go into our culture with his authority. Amen? Yeah. Do not allow the enemy to tread upon you like a doormat, but take up your bed and walk. Your authority gives you the right to claim healing and health and strength and restoration. The second word translated power in Luke 19 is used to describe Satan's ability. So there are two different Greek words used for the same English word, power. The word power referring to Satan's ability is the Greek word dunamis, which means ability or strength or force. The devil may have dunamis power, but God has given you authority. Not only has God given you authority, but authority over all the limited ability, dunamis power, of the adversary. So there's legal authority and legal rights involved in this for us. A person may have a weapon, as the police do, but the police have the authority and the right to constantly carry their weapon because of the badge and exousia that has been given to him or her. The officer can make an official arrest of a person who is carrying a weapon that doesn't have a license to carry that weapon in the act of committing a crime, or a person who is a felon and has no right to own a weapon. The officer has the authority over the person who is not an officer with a badge, who's carrying a deadly weapon in criminal intent, or once again, a felon who has no right to carry a firearm. Okay? Satan is a felon. He's got no authority over us. And we need to issue to him a restraining order based on heavenly commands to tell him, get off my property, get out of my life, you're restrained from being a part of what I'm doing. Amen? Issue him a restraining order. We've got legal authority to command anything over demonic opposition, including our health, to return. The authority that Jesus has given us means we've been given legal control, access, and the right, and he's the only one who can delegate that to us. Jesus has given you commanding authority over all the works of the enemy. Jesus supports and backs and he reinforces you going against the adversary trying to kill, steal, and destroy. He's a felon. We need to evict him, and we need to put a restraining order on him. Now, the gun, the firearm, is a form of power which can do great harm when used. Therefore, it represents dunamis. A criminal may carry a weapon, firearm, as can someone who is licensed to carry a firearm. But neither one of those scenarios means a thing compared to an officer, sworn officer with a badge, who's authorized to enforce the law and make arrests. Demonic spirits have power to do a lot of harm to people using sickness and disease, but only a born-again, spirit-filled, blood-washed believer has been authorized spiritually to command sickness, demonic spirits, and the like, to be cast away, to be evicted, to be restrained in Jesus' name. Every command spoken in Jesus' name has backed up by his spiritual authority. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And that simply means this, that we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, receiving the authority that God has blessed his son with. He is sharing it with his church, his bride. And it's the Father's desire for his people to take possession of what's been given to them while knowing their spiritual rights. Now, I was thinking about that the other day when I was reading a little bit about John G. Lake, the great evangelist who came to know the Lord and then filled with the Holy Spirit under Alexander Dowie back in Illinois, and then left that area of the country and went to be a missionary in South Africa, where for a number of years they had it really rough and tough. They weren't sent by any missions body, and they scrambled every week to make ends meet, but he built several thousand churches as a result of the mission and the work of evangelism that he and his family did. He lost his wife there. She died being anemic and broken down in health. They came back to America and settled up here in the Northwest in Seattle area, and he opened the healing rooms and healing houses and prayer houses all over Seattle, made the front pages of the newspaper there, Seattle Intelligencer, and talking about the health that was restored to the city of Seattle because of so many praying people all over the city. Can you imagine? When he was on the mission field and the plague had broken out, there were many that encouraged him to leave the field and go home lest he contract it and get sick and die. And he said, "It won't touch me." And the documentation in his life story is he told those doctors who were looking at that virus that they could pick up out of the foam and the leakage in the body, and they would look at it under a microscope and they could see the virus. He said, "Put it in my hand. Put it in my hand. Put a live virus in my hand. Then watch what God's power will do to it." And they witnessed the virus dying in his hand. Never touched him, never infected him, never hurt him in any way. And he gave all the glory to God. Let me tell you what, that man understood this principle of telling the enemy, "I'm putting a restraining order on you. You're not going to touch my life because I belong to the Lord. I'm doing service for the Lord." So commanding your healing or the healing of fellow believers by the word of God brings results if we believe. And I believe that it's not the word of God that is the problem. It's our faith to believe what the Word of God says we can possess. The Word of God is true, and it works if we allow it to work. We have to learn to take God at His Word. We have to possess the Word of God, and the Word of God needs to possess us. And the Word of God is the key, and the Holy Spirit is the compass for healthy, prosperous, righteous living, dealing with sickness, disease, debt, works of the adversary. We have authority and freedom when it comes to God's word. We have to know what that Jesus' authority lives in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just any authority in us. It's the same authority that was in Jesus now is in us. And the Bible says it like this, "He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Do we believe that? Amen. Sickness and disease have no rental space or room in our temples. God didn't create our bodies to become hosts for sickness and disease and pain. Our bodies are to be hosts of His presence, hosts of His power, hosts of healing, hosts of His love and His virtue. Hosts of kingdom authority. Amen? That's what's supposed to be residing in the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are called to command, to tread on sickness and disease, to drive out spirits of infirmity, to put an eviction notice up for them, to understand, you come to steal, kill, and destroy. I've got the power of God that's come to give me life, and that more abundantly. We're serving notice on you. There's a restraining order. Stay away from my property. Stay away from my family. But we're covered by the blood of Jesus. We are protected. So whatever we're facing tonight, know that through prophetic confession, the commands and declarations of the Word of God, you will see things change miraculously for the better, especially when you frequent the table of the Lord and renew covenant with Him. In the kingdom of darkness, now, let me stop there. I've noticed something in the scripture, that the people took communion every day in their homes. You've heard me say it a gazillion times, so you know that. It's important to do that. When Don and I were talking to Cy and Karen Rogers about this attack of the enemy and his body, I said, now my wife and I are taking communion every morning. We're praying for you to be healed. And let me just encourage you guys, do that. Last text I got from him said, Karen and I are taking communion at the table every morning, believing God to restore my health. And we're believing and trusting God. Amen? Now, when you track this into the New Testament, there were great miracles going on continuously in the book of Acts. But if you notice carefully, most of those miracles were being done among those who were yet to be born again. You don't see a lot of need to be praying for the sick in the early New Testament church. I don't have a passage for this, except the principles of what these elements mean. And by His stripes we are what? Every time I celebrate that, I believe that God helps me physically to live under divine protection and health. I believe that. I trust that. So I think it's imperative to do that. I don't think it's by accident that they celebrated that in every home and that God blessed their homes. So we're called to command, tread on sickness, disease, and drive out spirits of infirmity. So whatever we're faced with, we believe that God will help us at His table tonight. The kingdom of darkness only functions within the confines and parameters of God's law. It won't be ever permitted to transgress the hedge that God's built around us without God's consent. And as spirit-filled, born-again, blood-washed believers, if you've been affected by illness, the devil has broken the law, and now you need to activate your right to evict him, to punish him, to remove him from your premises. Are you listening? The time we did that as the church, we just kind of roll over and just hope and pray it'll go away. You have a legal right to evict him, to be healed through the exousia authority that God has given to you. You can apprehend him and stop him. When the enemy violates the law by breaking it to afflict you, then rise up and take authority over it. And if you've yielded yourself to sin and you start practicing behavior that displeases God, that has opened the door for the enemy, and you've given him a pass to come in to afflict you. And you need to repent immediately before God and renounce the actions of sin and close every legal access point that you've given to the enemy and say, you're not getting in this place anymore. And if you happen to break down the door, they'll carry you out in a bag, right? So tonight, we will evict and sever and shut down every evil alliance attempting to come in through any door that's been left open. We can command our freedom in the authority and power that God has given to us, but we need to have our conscience clean and clear. Because if you have a conscience that's convicting you because the Spirit of God is reminding you, you haven't put that under the blood, you haven't surrendered that to me, then that's going to bring doubt in your ability to believe God for the miracles you're searching for. But when your conscience is clean heart is washed and you've yielded to the Spirit, then with confidence you stand on His word and say, the authority by which you have granted me health and strength, I claim it in Jesus' name. And you can stand there in faith, knowing that God will grant to you what He's promised to you. I've noticed that in the ministry of Jesus, He never prayed prayers for the sick. Did you ever notice that when you read that about Jesus' ministry of healing? He commanded the sick to be well. I don't think it's coincidental that He always, at least most of the time, He would clear the atmosphere of the demonic when He'd have a crowd around Him and people were wanting to get well. First thing He would do is cast out the devils. Get out of here. He evicted them, put a restraining order on all of them. Don't you touch anything under the sound of my voice. And then He healed them all, the scripture says. And He healed them all. It's powerful. And He did it by command of the authority that God had placed in Him. Not only did Jesus command people to be well, then He granted to His followers the same authority. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Is that not in God's word? These signs shall follow them that believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. How many want to believe that tonight? Say, I'm going to stand on that. I'm going to take the table of the Lord. I'm going to renew my covenant with God. I'm going to be sure my heart and my mind and my body are clean. I'm going to be sure that I've confessed any sin that the Holy Spirit has brought to my attention. And I'm going to put it under the blood of Jesus and ask Him to wash me. Thank God if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's a command. We have to firmly have Jesus' truth fixed in us, that we will lay hands on the sick and they will, and we'll see miracles in this room tonight. And it's in the name of Jesus we can command healing to take place here at the table of His Majesty, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's the King of His house and He owns everything in it, all of us. You see, what makes up His house? Oh, He's got the finest of furniture, the finest of streets and fineries of the majestic creation that He's made, but that's not for Him. He doesn't need any of that. We're His house. This is what He takes joy and pleasure in. His family is His house. Praise the Lord. So lift your hands for a few moments, and those that are helping serve, make your way forward.